And we're joined on the line from Israel by David Kaplan, who is one of the key figures behind this project. He is a journalist and editor of a number of English magazines in Israel. He's also the chairman of the Isaac Ochberg Memorial Committee in Israel, and we'll have to chat to him about that another time. And he's also former chairman of TELFED, the South African Zionist Federation in Israel, Dave Kaplan. Dave, thanks so much for joining us here on The Home Run. If we start at the very beginning, who were these South African coloured soldiers and why were they fighting in northern Israel in 1917?
Good. Thank you, Paula, for inviting me. In fact, Paula, the last time I saw you, which was a couple of years ago, we were standing at the very spot, maybe 100 metres away, where the memorial is going to be erected to the Cape Coloured Corps.
I didn't even know that. So, has it been in the pipeline for that long?
It's been in the pipeline for many years, going back at least to before 2016. Yes.
Dave, you can't keep these secrets from me.
There you go. So you ask, I mean, the what's are a lot easier than the why's. And you're asking, you know, what were these and why were these
exactly
colored fighting in
Israel in the first place?
Palestine.
Palestine, then, as you say.
So let me just give you a little bit of background so you have an understanding and a bit of depth to this. In 1917 was the Balfour Declaration, okay? And it was in the beginning of 1917, about in November, 2nd of November, where the letter was, you're familiar with it, where the British government supported a national homeland for the Jewish state. This Balfour Declaration was an abstraction. It had no meaning unless Britain controlled the land in question to enable a Jewish state to eventually be established, okay? So it had to be acquired or conquered, and that's where the Cape Corps came in. In 1917, we're in the midst of the First World War, okay? And what exactly was happening at the time? The British were taking on the Germans and the Ottoman Empire in this neck of the woods, or this neck of the desert. It had taken Beersheba, which was important, and that's where the Australians and New Zealands came in, and was the last famous battle charge on a horseback charge in history. They then took Gaza, and then they took, with Allenby, they took Jerusalem. And then they were stuck because they didn't have enough personnel to continue the fight. This was in November of 1917. And an appeal went out to the Commonwealth for more soldiers to come along to continue the battle. And who heeded the call?
South Africa.
The Cape Corps. Exactly. It was the Cape Corps who very conveniently were fighting in East Africa at the time and very, very successfully.
So
they heeded the call and they came and they joined the forces of Allenby in Jerusalem and marched forward and then went into the famous, which became the famous Battle of Megiddo, which included the Battle of Square Hill and H.K. Jalaid.
Dave, so these colored soldiers, were they conscripted? Had they volunteered? Who were they?
They had volunteered. They had volunteered to fight in the First World War. And they were in East Africa at the time, and they heeded the call.
And do you know how many of them would there have been, and would some of them have died?
So it was a very heroic battle. The Battle of Square Hill can be divided, and their participation into two was the Battle of Square Hill, which was part of the Battle of Megiddo. And the next day, the battle continued, and that was the battle of what they call K.H. Jabait. Now, the Battle of Square Hill, I think there was one casualty, and they took 181 prisoners. The next day, at the Battle of Jabait, which was about 700 to 800 meters, just under a kilometer north of Square Hill, they took 53 casualties. And there are 54 graves of the Cape Coloured Corps, which is known today as the Cape Corps, that are in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And that's where you heard about when I addressed that meeting, that gathering in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. when there was a delegation of coloureds from South Africa, and we met at the Commonwealth Cemetery where these 54 coloureds are buried. And we had a ceremony over there, which was very, very moving.
And the delegation...
And it was actually the first time, mm-hmm. sorry?
It was the first time?
And this was the first time that these coloureds from South Africa had actually ever heard of the battle, never knew anything about their history. So it was incredibly moving and meaningful for these guys.
Why do you think that this particular history was never properly taught in South Africa, or within the Cape Coloured community, I should say?
Well, it's a good, again, I come back to the question, we know the what, but why, but we don't know the why. And it's part of South African history. And it's the same to some extent, Paula, with Ochberg. So few people know about the history and the impact Ochberg had because it was never taught in Jewish day schools. Similarly, in Coloured schools, they were never taught their history. Now, if we look at the book that's just come out on this battle, this famous battle of the Cape Coloured Corps, what's the title? It's the title of the book is "They Said We Cannot Do It." In other words, there was this incredible lack of confidence of the coloured community, of the way they treated, and it was so apparent when we addressed this delegation, that they feel that they have been denied a history, that there isn't a recorded history. And therefore, it's very, very moving for them to suddenly discover that there's a history out there that they played such an integral part of. Because we as Jews in Israel, yeah, look, if it wasn't for the success of this particular battle and the contribution that the coloured community made at this battle, there may not have been a Jewish state, because it was important that they had to win this battle to enable the British to acquire the land, which eventually, 31 years later, became the Jewish state in 1948. But for that to have happened, the land had to no longer be under the dominion of the Ottoman Turks, but had to be in the hands of the British. The Cape community, the Cape Coloured community, enabled that to happen.
David, we were talking about the Cape community and South Africa not knowing this history, but is it known in Israel? And I know you're involved, obviously, in setting up the memorial. Where did the idea for the memorial come? Are those two questions linked?
So Peter Bailey is on the committee, who's a military historian, and was, before he immigrated to Israel some years ago, was in charge of the graves of Jews who died in uniform in South Africa. He came to Israel and he learnt about, by chance, this history. And he said we should put up a monument to the Cape Corps for their contribution. I then, as chairman of the Ochberg Committee, where the monument, as you know, is at Megiddo, and I said, well, you know, if this is part of the Battle of Megiddo, and the Ochberg monument's already in Megiddo, why don't we do it in the same area? And we discussed this with the Megiddo Regional Council, that agreed that next, about 100 meters from the Ochberg Memorial, we'll put up and erect the Cape Corps Memorial. Both share something in common. They both South Africa, both hail from Cape Town. Both are involved in the concept of salvation. As you know, Ochberg saved nearly 200 orphans from Eastern Europe and brought them to Cape Town, South Africa. And the Cape Corps in the heroic battle is also about salvation, because it enabled the future, helped to enable a future Jewish state. So there's a hell of a lot in common.
And I know...
Also, I don't... Yes.
Well, I was going to say, I know that you're hoping to twin a school in Israel with Square Hill in Retreat in the Cape. So,
right.
So that's part of the remembrance, I guess. That's part of the shared memory.
So, you know, yes, you know, there's a school, as you just mentioned, called the Square Hill School in Retreat. And I'm sure if one went to that school, very few of the pupils, even if the teachers, would probably even know anything about the history and why the school is named Square Hill. So it's important. And a year or two ago, another South African delegation had come, and we went to McGiddle, and we went to one of the schools over there. They had just, the pupils at this particular school had just won an international competition in robotics. Okay, these are 16, 17-year-old kids, brilliant. And we thought how appropriate it would be to twin this school or a school in Megiddo with the Square Hill School in Cape Town. There could be this cross-pollination, really, of cultural and academic and intellectual cross-pollination, which would be so good for Israel, would be so good for South Africa, for Cape Town, and for the bridging of divides, which we know so much about with regard to Israel and South Africa. Here we could work at something really positive and in the area of education. So that's one of the ideas that we most certainly would like to pursue, of twinning one of the Megiddo schools with the Square Hill School in Cape Town.
And Dave, just before I let you go, are there any anecdotes or any stories that you can share with us? Unfortunately, we are running out of time, so maybe just one story, one anecdote?
Yes, I mean, there are many, but two little ones. When I was in Cape Town in 2016, okay, I had a list with me of all the soldiers that were involved in this battle and those that had died. And I thought I was going to try and hunt them down, see if there were families still in Cape Town. And I started looking up names in the telephone directory in Cape Town, in Grassy Park, in Hanover, and Retreat and everything. And I started phoning. And suddenly a woman at the other end went hysterical. I asked the question, do you have a descendant from about 100 years ago whose name was whatever? And she said, yes. And she suddenly started screaming, what, a relation of ours was a hero? Aww. She couldn't believe it. This happened three more times, and I realized I had to stop because I did not want to raise expectations, because back then it was just an idea. Now that idea is materializing and manifesting itself, and we're going to try to put up this memorial. I have an architect also from Cape Town, a good friend of mine, Michael Witkin, who's busy designing the memorial. Now we have something concrete, so we can move on and we can start connecting. And when I addressed together with Peter Bailey, the group that came up from South Africa, they started looking at the graves of these colored soldiers in Jerusalem and started copying the names down. And they said they also, when they get back to South Africa, are going to start phoning around and seeing if they can find the descendants.